KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's 64 degrees with sunny skies in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Marissa Hovde, KJAN News. On Friday night, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office arrested 22-year-old Danielle Renee Bammer of Villisca for domestic assault simple following an incident in the 100 block of West 4th Street in Villisca. Bammer was transported to the Montgomery County Jail, where she was held pending an appearance before the magistrate. An Audubon man was arrested Thursday on an assault charge. According to the Audubon PD, 19-year-old Kaz Ryan Kozad was charged with domestic abuse assault. Kozad was transported to the Audubon County Sheriff's Office to appear before a magistrate. The Atlantic Police Department reports an accident at 502 Chestnut Street in Atlantic on Thursday. Rodney Christensen of Atlantic was backing out of a parking stall and stopped in the roadway when he saw Killy Bulish of Atlantic approaching. Christensen was waiting for the car to go around him, and instead Bulish ran into the back of Christensen's vehicle. No injuries were reported. Damage to Bulish's vehicle was estimated at $2,850. Damage to Christensen's vehicle was estimated at $1,550. Bulish was cited for having an expired driver's license. The Atlantic Police Department also reports the arrest of 42-year-old Gregory Jennings of Atlantic on Thursday. Jennings was arrested on a Cass County warrant for felon in possession of a firearm. An Ottawa mother has been sentenced to 50 years in prison for the drowning death of her young son. Ashley Cameron received the sentence Friday in Monona County District Court. The 25-year-old was convicted in May of involuntary manslaughter and child endangerment resulting in death for the drowning of 15-month-old Marcus Doms. Prosecutors say Cameron drowned her son after she held his head under a running faucet. Cameron told investigators she was cleaning him after the child had vomited in the bathtub. She says she repeated the process as he vomited several more times. Cameron testified that she'd left Marcus in the tub to get some items and found him face down in the water. Her attorney suggested that the boy may have had a seizure. Iowans should soon know more about what they can expect to find on the new health exchange, though whether the state's two largest carriers will participate remains unclear. Sunday is the deadline for insurance carriers to file to be included in the online marketplace for Iowa. Iowa Insurance Commissioner Nick Gerhart says he expects to release the insurance providers' names on Monday, though the details on the specific plan proposals will come later. Representatives for Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield and United Healthcare, which combined hold roughly 90% of the Iowa insurance market, declined to comment on their intentions. Gerhart says he expects a few statewide providers to be available, but doesn't know if the big two will opt in. The use of algae in research is rapidly increasing, and Iowa State University has created a way to ramp up algae growth and harvesting to feed the need. Scientists at universities and in private industry are exploring the potential for algae to be used as fertilizer, a source of biofuel, and as a feed supplement for livestock, among many other applications. Iowa State's new algal production facility, built inside a greenhouse on the BioCentury Research Farm in rural Boone, went online in January. The facility contains a simpler, more efficient way to cultivate algae, designed by Martin Gross, a graduate assistant in agricultural and biosystems engineering, and Zhiyu Wen, an associate professor of food science and human nutrition. The new facility produces about 10 pounds of algae a week. State medical officials in Iowa have begun the process of considering whether to ban a remote control method of distributing abortion-inducing pills. The Des Moines Register reports the Iowa Board of Medicine voted 8-2 Friday to initiate the state's rulemaking process to determine whether to change state guideline to end so-called webcam abortions. The vote simply clears the way for a public comment period before the board makes a final vote. Des Moines-based Iowa Right to Life submitted petitions with more than 20,000 signatures to the board to ban the practice. It involves a doctor administering pills via video conferencing. The group says the practice is painful. Planned Parenthood of the Heartland says it's safe and serves women in rural communities. The board has 60 days to review the matter. An Iowa woman says she has resolved her lawsuit against U.S. Rep. Michelle Bachmann that accused the former presidential candidate's campaign of stealing an email list of homeschool supporters. A lawyer for Barbara Heckey of Johnston says the case against the Minnesota congresswoman and her senior Iowa campaign aides was dismissed Friday in Polk County District Court. Heckey had been a longtime board member of the Network of Iowa Christian Home Educators and volunteered for Bachmann's 2012 Iowa camp volunteered for Bachman's 2012 Iowa caucus campaign. Homeschool advocates are an influential bloc in the GOP caucuses. Hecky claimed the campaign's Iowa chairman, Senator Kent Sorensen of Indianola, took her personal computer without permission to access homeschool information for the campaign. Bachman quit the race the day after finishing sixth in the January 2012 caucuses. The Iowa Supreme Court has affirmed a lower court's decision to let nursing homes in the state file certain costs for Medicaid reimbursement expenses. The court's decision Friday affirms an earlier ruling by the Court of Appeals that says 9 long-term facilities can be reimbursed for Medicaid costs that include expenses incurred for services that use Medicare for payment. The services at issue were prescription drugs, x-rays, and lab work. The State Department of Human Services had argued these Medicare costs in Medicaid reimbursement expenses would result in double counting. The facilities shot back that DHS regulations require the inclusion of these costs. The agency's director eventually said the costs would not be allowed in the expense reports. A district court agreed, but the appeals court reversed it. A Des Moines man has been accused of calling 911 dozens of times and threatening to shoot and kill people. Des Moines police say Jack Scott made the phone calls Thursday morning. He is accused of telling dispatchers that his girlfriend was dead and decaying. KCCI-TV reports officers went to Scott's apartment to investigate. A police report says officers could hear Scott on the phone with dispatchers when they arrived. Scott is accused of threatening officers as he was handcuffed. He has been charged with obstruction of emergency communications. Records do not list an attorney. A Des Moines man has been accused of trying to attack an animal control officer with a machete after the officer tried to impound the man's dog. The Des Moines Police Department says 35-year-old Brian Case attempted the attack Wednesday morning as the animal control officer tried to capture Case's American Bulldog. Case was being investigated in connection with an alleged attack involving his dog biting another man. The officer called police and Case was arrested. He was charged with going armed with intent and received pet license violations. He was released from jail Thursday. The dog was placed on quarantine and will later be released. A public number for Case was not listed. Looking at our funeral announcements this morning, Gerald Bowman, 89, of Coon Rapids, died Sunday, June 23rd, at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. Services for Gerald Bowman will be held at 11 a.m. today at First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Gladys Cunningham, 97, of Atlantic, died Monday, June 24th, at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Gladys Cunningham will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, July 1st, in the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary K. Brannon, 98, of Audubon, died Tuesday, June 25th, at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Mass of Christian burial for Mary K. Brannon will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 2nd, in the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Helen R. Petchy, 98, of Harlan, has died. Services for Helen Petchy are currently pending at Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. That's a look at news headlines this hour on KJAN. I'm Marissa Hovde reporting.